feet of all the Vaishnavas, and I seek your blessings to be able to speak whatever I have heard and read from Srila Prabhupada's books and whatever I have heard from my superiors. I am not at all qualified and I have no realizations, but because I am given the order by the superiors, I am just trying to follow their orders in mood of service. So I seek everyone's blessings to be able to speak something meaningful and not waste anyone's time. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravan Chari. Yamuna Tiravan Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravan Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundar Radha, Shyam Sundar Shri Radhe. Radha, Shyam Sundar Radha, Shyam Sundar Shri Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Shyam, Radhe, Shyam. Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya
Radhe Shyama, Radhe Shyama, Radhe Shyama.
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Everyone, again I seek blessings of all of you to be able to speak something meaningful, whatever I have heard from my superiors and whatever I have read from Srila Prabhupada. I am again acknowledging and declaring that I don't have any of my realizations and I don't have any qualification, but I'm just going to speak because of the order of the superiors. Hare Krishna. So today's verse is Canto 1, Chapter 12, verse number 17. Tasmanana Vishnurata Iti loke bhavishyati na sandeha mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan tesham namna vishnurata tasmam namna vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati na sandeha mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. Prabhuji, please. Tasmanamna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan tasman namna vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. Tasmanamna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. Iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. Okay, word to word translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Tasmat, therefore, namna, by the name Vishnu Rataha, protected by Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, Iti, thus, Loke, in all the planets, Bhavishyati, shall become well known, Na, no, Sandeha, doubts, Mahabhaga, most fortunate, Mahabhagavata, the first class devotee of the Lord, Mahan, qualified by all good qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. Purport. The Lord gives protection to all living beings because He is their supreme leader. The Vedic hymns confirm that the Lord is the supreme person amongst all personalities. The difference between the two living beings is that the one, the personality of Godhead, provides all other living beings, and by knowing Him, one can achieve eternal peace. This is Katha Upanishad. Such protection is given by His different potencies to different grades of living beings. But as far as His unalloyed devotees are concerned, He gives the protection personally. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is protected from the very beginning of His appearance in the womb of His mother. And because He is especially given protection by the Lord, the indication must be concluded that the child would be first grade devotee of the Lord with all good qualities. There are three grades of devotees, namely the Mahabhagavata, Madhyama Adhikari, and the Kanishtha Adhikari. Those who go to the temple of the Lord and offer worshipful respect to the deity without sufficient knowledge in the theological science and therefore without any respect for the devotees of the Lord are called materialistic devotees or Kanishtha Adhikari, the third grade devotees. Secondly, the devotees who have developed a mentality of genuine service to the Lord and who thus make friendships only with similar devotees, show favor to the neophyte and avoid the atheists, are called the second grade devotees. But those who see everything in the Lord or everything of the Lord and also see in everything an eternal relationship of the Lord, so that there is nothing within their purview of sight except the Lord, are called the Mahabhagavata, or the first grade devotees of the Lord. Such first grade devotees of the Lord are perfect in all respects. The devotees who may be in any of these categories is automatically qualified by all good qualities, and thus a Mahabhagavata devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is certainly perfect in all respects. And because Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthir, he is addressed herein as the Mahabhagavata, or the greatest of the fortunates. The family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate because due to the birth of a first grade devotee, the members of the family, past, present and future, up to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord out of respect for His beloved devotee. Therefore, the highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They are just like desire tree who can fulfill the desires of everyone. They are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Alright, Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So, we have been hearing about the glories of Parikshit Maharaj in this chapter. And we see that the sages of Naimisharanya, they initially asked about Parikshit Maharaj in first canto, chapter 4, verse number 9. So he is so glorious that he has been asked by the sages of Naimisharanya again and again. And then we saw that how Mother Uttara, when she saw the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama coming to her, she prayed to Krishna, she went running to Krishna in order to protect her womb, especially the child Parikshit, and she mentions there that Krishna, if you so desire, so please protect the child in my womb. She said that I don't care if you protect me or not, but it is my responsibility as a mother to protect my dependent Parikshit. So she is only dependent on Krishna, and she is praying to Krishna. And there in that chapter, beginning of chapter 8, which is entitled Prayers of Queen Kunti, so there we see, and before that we see that how when Ashwatthama was in a trouble, after killing all the sleeping sons of Draupadi, he was actually running, because Arjuna wanted to kill him, catch him and kill him. But Ashwatthama was very afraid, and what did he do? Instead of taking shelter of Krishna, he just fired Brahmastra, even though he didn't know how to retract it back. So it was not proper for him to fire that Brahmastra, but still he did. So we see the difference between a devotee and person like Ashwatthama, that he was not able to take shelter of Krishna. But in case of Pandavas and Uttara, we see that when there was a difficulty, then she took shelter of Krishna, and then again Arjuna, when the second Brahmastra was fired by Ashwatthama, then Arjuna also offers prayers to Krishna, and he seeks protection of Krishna. So, and in this verse we see that this theme of protection is given here. So in the previous verse, this verse is starting like, for this reason, this child will be known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. So in the previous verse, what is the reason? In the previous verse we heard yesterday that the spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. So they're speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and Brahmanas are speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj that this child will be very, very famous because he is protected even before he appeared, that he became so glorious because of what? Because he was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So that is, and we heard that how Yudhishthir Maharaj was so anxious about what will this child be like. And then these Brahmanas, and they did a lot of samskaras, Garvadan samskara, and then other samskaras that are done for attracting a good soul, and to help the soul to come to the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So those are the samskaras that are done. They are not the Vedic samskaras, because in Vedic samskaras they are actually related to fruitive mentality, but these samskaras are based on, like we heard in the previous classes, they are based on the Pancharatriki Vidhi, which is for the spiritual well-being of the soul. So Parikshit Maharaj, and also like I was thinking about when I was reading this verse yesterday, that we see that how when Mother Uttara, she is a pure devotee of the Lord, and she wanted to give protection to her son, and she approached Krishna, nobody else. So when parents are so careful when the about the protection and well-being and spiritual well-being of the child, then how it affects the child in their spiritual growth. So the theme here is about protection, and so this child is glorious because Krishna is protecting the child even before he is born from the Brahmastra, he protected. So in purport also Srila Prabhupada is writing about how Krishna is the supreme and he protects everyone, but he takes the personal care of his pure devotees. So that's the theme here. And we know that there are six limbs of surrender, and this protection by Krishna is one of them. So those six limbs of surrender are, the first one is to accept things which are favorable for Krishna consciousness. Second one is to reject things which are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. And then it is, Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector, and then humility, and then last one is Atmanivedana, surrendering everything to Krishna. So one of the limbs of surrender is that protection, that Krishna is my supreme protector and Krishna is my maintainer. So, and one who is protected by the Supreme Lord, he becomes famous like Parikshit Maharaj. And I was also thinking about that all of us, like everybody wants to be famous some way or the other, but generally people look to material shelters to become famous. And we know that Krishna, he is exalted in all the six opulences, and fame is another one of the opulences of Krishna. Fame, renunciation, beauty, knowledge, and wealth. All these are Krishna's opulence, and we also know that whatever kind of people we associate with, we get their qualities. So in order to become famous and develop these qualities that Krishna has, if we take shelter of Krishna, we associate with him through devotees, then actually we develop those qualities in ourselves. And also, we have like four basic needs of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And we all know that when there is some danger, then we stop eating, sleeping, mating and then come to defending. So how important it is that we be protected. And if we take shelter of Krishna, that is the supreme protection that we have. Yeah. So... And also that Prabhupada is saying that Krishna, in the first part of the purport, he is saying that he is the protector of all living entities, but as far as his, in this sentence here, but as far as his unalloyed devotees are concerned, he gives the protection personally. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is protected from the very beginning of his appearance in the womb of his mother. And because he is especially given protection by the Lord, the indication must be concluded that the child would be a first grade devotee of the Lord with all good qualities. In yesterday's class, we also heard in the purport that there were two reasons that Maharaj Parikshit was protected by Krishna personally in such a beautiful way. That one reason is that he is the pure devotee of the Lord, and the second reason was that he actually is the only heir to the throne and Krishna wanted to establish that religious kingdom, and that's why the whole Kurukshetra battle took place. And yesterday we heard a lot of emphasis on the importance of training and education, and like how Prabhuji quoted from Ramayana and Mahabharata, what kind of training was given to the Kshatriyas. So that is what here we see, that Parikshit Maharaj, later we will see that how Parikshit Maharaj showing all these qualities that a Kshatriya should have, and for that particular reason Krishna wanted to establish first Yudhishthir Maharaj as the king, and then he wanted to protect Parikshit Maharaj so that the kingdom can be ruled by a proper personality. And then after that, Srila Prabhupada, he is speaking about, because here in the verse we see that Parikshit Maharaj is a first class devotee. So Srila Prabhupada then, he is speaking about that how there are three grades of devotee, Kanishthadikari, Madhyamadikari and Uttamadikari. And 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear in detail the qualities of these devotees, Kanishthadikari, Madhyamadikari and Uttamadikari. So Kanishthadikari, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport also, that they are those who see Krishna in the deities only. They don't have so much, mood of service to the devotees of Krishna, and they don't see Krishna outside the temple and outside the deity. And in 11th canto, we hear the distinction is based on the faith of a devotee. Depending upon the level of the faith of a devotee, one can be Kanishthadikari, Madhyamadikari or Uttamadikari. So if one has very little faith, then he or she is a Kanishthadikari. And then if one has quite good faith, that they won't fall down, that is Madhyamadikari. And then one who has unflinching faith in the Lord, they are Uttamadikaris. And then the second criteria of defining whether one is a Kanishthadikari or Madhyamadikari or Uttamadikari is his knowledge about the Shastra. So Kanishthadikaris, they have basically very less knowledge about the scriptures, and Madhyamadikari, they have knowledge about the scriptures but not as complete as the Uttamadikaris. So they have that much knowledge, but they cannot all the time actually defeat the opponents. But in case of Uttamadikari, their knowledge of Shastra is so much that they can actually always defeat the opponents of the scriptures. And then the third criteria is about their the way they chant the holy name of the Lord. So we know that there is Nama Parad, Nama Abhas and Shuddha Nam. So those who chant at the level of Nama Parad, they are at the Kanishtha level. And those who chant at the Nama Abhas level, they are Madhyamadikaris. And then the Uttamadikari, they chant at the level of Shuddha Nam. And then the next category is, next criteria for one to be Kanishtha, Uttama or Madhyama is about their vision, like how they see others. So Kanishtha, like I said before and like Prabhupada is also mentioning in the purport, is those who see Krishna only in the deity. And Madhyamadikari, they adore Krishna and they could actually develop relationship with similar like-minded devotees, and they are compassionate towards the neophyte, and also they kind of avoid envious, not because actually they are envious of them, but because they don't want to take them away from Krishna. So that's why they kind of, keep a distance with those people who are envious towards Krishna. And also about the Diksha. So the Kanishthadikari, and in the beginning, I mean, this is not a fine line, so there could be overlap. Those who have Harinam Diksha and those who are Madhyamadikari, they have second initiation, and the third Mahabhagavatas, they are like even beyond that. So this is about the different levels of devotees. And we see here that the Parikshit Maharaj, he is the top class devotee, the Mahabhagavata. And then we hear that how this Mahabhagavata devotee, actually when one is, whichever family these Mahabhagavata devotees appear in, their whole family get benefited. Towards the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing here, the family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate because due to the birth of a first grade devotee, the members of the family, past, present and future, up to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord out of respect for his beloved devotee. Therefore, the highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. So how important it is to take up the process of devotional service to our heart. And I'm remembering in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes at one place that we should at least come to Madhyamadhikari level. And then he quotes this verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:14:8, tattenukampam susmikshyamano bunjanivatam kritam vipakam hridvagvapurvir vidatam namaste jivetayo muktipade sadai bhak. So Srila Prabhupada writes there, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact words, but just paraphrasing, that one should at least come to the Madhyamadhikari level, and the way is that following this verse, tattenukampam verse. What is that? What is the meaning of that verse is that one should earnestly wait for the mercy of the Lord while suffering from the reactions of their past deeds, and all the time hridvagvapurvir, offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord by their heart, body and words. That if one does that, then one becomes that sadaya bhak, one becomes, it becomes one's rightful claim to go back to Godhead. So that is the way when we take full shelter of Krishna and never ever actually take, never ever forget him, and always not blaming Krishna or others for our reactions that we are getting in this this life. I mean, no matter what we are, no matter who we are, there are material problems that we face in life, sometimes happiness and sometimes distress. So that will always be there, but considering that to be the reaction of our own karma, not blaming anyone and always taking shelter of Krishna, glorifying him, remembering him, then one become eligible to go back to the spiritual world and serve Krishna there as servant of servants. And also that Prabhupada there in a Nectar of Devotion, he writes in this context that when one is trying to take shelter of Krishna and when one has become a devotee of Krishna, we may not be pure devotee of Krishna, but even at the lower level of devotion, when actually the difficulties that come in our life, they are just the token reaction of our karma that we may have done in our past lives. And that token reaction also is actually only because Krishna wants us to come closer to him, make him our complete shelter, not any other shelter, so that we can become his unalloyed devotees and not look for any other shelter but him. So that is why the token reaction is given to us. And also Srila Prabhupada writes there that for the materialist, the karmic reaction is there, but for a devotee, when one becomes a devotee, the reaction is orchestrated by Krishna. I mean, everything that comes, good or bad, in our life is actually orchestrated by Krishna. So we should have that confidence in Krishna that whatever he is doing for my benefit. He is doing it for bringing me closer to himself so that I don't have to take birth again. So that is one point that Srila Prabhupada makes there. And I was also thinking about what is this protection, because in this verse that theme of protection is there again and again. What is this protection? So is it that when we become a devotee, we are not going to get any problems in life, we are not going to get old, we are not going to get diseased, we are not going to die? Is it that protection or something else? So the real protection that Krishna gives is that a devotee never forgets Krishna, because that is the essence of all the rules and regulations that we follow. Never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna, those two. What is that? Sarve vidhi nished ashur etyore kinkara samartavya satatam vishnur visamartavyo na jatuchit etyore kinkara. That is the essence of following all the rules and prohibiting everything is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So that is the protection that Krishna gives actually. And we see in the story of Prahlad Maharaj there, even though Prahlad, he is born in the family of demons, but so many times Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many different ways, but he was always protected because he had full faith in Krishna. So if we have that full faith in Krishna that he is my maintainer, he is my protector, and he is actually my best friend, then actually we will always feel that protection of Krishna. Just like we are hearing here how Parikshit Maharaj was protected by Krishna. So, and I was also thinking that in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna many times says that if we become devotee of Krishna, then he gives us full protection. So many times he is speaking. To Arjuna he is saying that Kaunteya prati jani name bhaktya pranashyati, my devotee will never perish. So, and in Bhagavatam when we hear all these pastimes how Krishna is protecting his devotees, in starting from very first canto in the beginning chapters when Krishna protected Uttara and all the Pandavas from Brahmastra, and then we hear later how he goes to Bhishmadev to fulfill his desire to leave his body in the presence of Krishna. And then we hear many more places, and how Queen Kunti, she speaks about how Krishna has protected them in many, many ways. So that builds our faith actually to that how Krishna is my protector, how Krishna is my best well-wishing friend. Even though we may get some little challenges in our lives, but all those are actually to bring us closer to Krishna. And also I think a few days back one devotee, when they were giving class, I think it was a mother, Vegvati Mataji, she was telling, or some other, I'm not remembering which Mataji, but they were speaking about that Krishna gives us problems, but not that much we cannot handle. And they mentioned that not less, not more. So it's hard when some difficulty is in our lives, but if we actually take shelter of scriptures, then it helps us that how Krishna has protected so many devotees, so why not me? So let me try to be a devotee. And this last point here is about how when we become devotees, then how the whole family gets benefit, our ancestors and our descendants. Like in Prahlad Maharaj's prayers also, Lord Narsingadev tells, when Prahlad Maharaj asks that, please give me this benediction, that my father be protected. And then Lord Narsingadev tells, not only just your father, but your descendants and ancestors, like, you know, 21 generation, he spoke that way. So that is some of the thoughts that I wanted to present. So I beg for forgiveness for my mistakes, and I, if you have any corrections for me or something to add, please feel free to share and add.
There's one online question.
Yes, probably.
From G.A. It says, nice class, Mataji. The verse you quoted says, it becomes his rightful claim. How is that different from a fruitive worker demanding, I have earned this profit, now give it to me?
How is it different? One becomes rightful claim. So just the thought that comes to me is that, like for example, if we see a material example, then, you know, one parent may have many children, and then one child is very, very obedient and very submissive to the father. So the father would give lovingly to that child whatever the father can give. But for the child who is completely notorious and who doesn't listen to and who doesn't obey, the parent doesn't give actually. Forcefully he may give something, whatever, and whatever we deserve, only that much we can get. Even if, Krishna won't give us until and unless we deserve something. That is what Prabhuji would like to add something. Okay. Any correction, Prabhuji?
Where is the reference of your Madhyamadhikari means second initiation?
What, Prabhuji?
You said Kanishta is the first initiation, Madhyamadhikari is the second initiation. Yeah, what is the reference?
I heard from in the Bhakti Shastri class, Prabhuji, or maybe I am wrong, maybe.
But
like I may have
when we have when you hear something like that, we need a reference.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about
because,
that.
No, that's okay. It's okay, we're discussing. Because Madhyamadhikari, there is a conscious adjustment, and it's intentional. They are very aware what they're doing. They're always adjusting. This is the basic foundation of Madhyamadhikari. That Bhagavatam says, prema maitri kipa apeksha jokarati shamadhama. So there they have four qualities. But if you look at the qualities, they are all consciously, conscious decision. Prema, I have a love for Krishna. Love for Krishna is not automatically. It's not like I will chant and it will come up. No, there has to be intention. I want to please Krishna. I want to follow Prabhupada. The intention, because intention also comes with two other things. Intention comes with commitment and effort. So then the result comes. Okay, love, prema, maitri. And then he feels happy seeing another devotee more advanced. Not that he be jealous like me. I used to feel jealous if somebody knows better. I know that. So I was scared. And I pray and pray and pray. Radhanath Maharaj says, don't worry, if you keep on praying, Krishna will purify. That's true. And then if I see somebody don't know enough, natural affection to help that person has to come. So, prema maitri, kripa apeksha, the affection or merciful nature to the innocent. So these are conscious choice. No? It is not by initiation. Initiation is an event. Initiation just beginning. So that's why I, because somebody will be asking that question again otherwise.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anything else?
But it's nice pleasant. Thank you.
By your blessings.
Mataji, thank you for a beautiful class. I have a question. So when the devotee Uttara asked for protection of her son, in this material world, when a devotee asks for protection for their child, let's say something bad is happening. Whatever bad is happening is the child's karmic account. So aren't we kind of interfering in that karmic account by asking that nothing bad happen to this child? I mean, how does it equate out? I mean, do we say, okay, you know, forgive my child and give all that bad karma to me? Or do you just beg for protection for the child? I mean, how does that work?
So Yes, each and everyone who is born in material world, means mostly, like unless they are Nitya Siddhas who come with Krishna, so we all have karmic things, either whether it's a child or us adults. But as a parent, like we saw in the case of Uttara, that she says, if you so desire, as a parent, it's our responsibility to give full protection to the child. And like we hear, and that protection is like, means we can depend on only on Krishna, like we hear that Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. And in 7th canto, there Prahlad Maharaj also says to Lord Narsingadev that only if you give protection, then only somebody will be protected. Otherwise, a mother or a father cannot protect their child. The physician and the medicines cannot protect. And the boat cannot save the drowning man unless and until Krishna wants. So, because we are completely dependent, and Krishna listens to the prayers of his devotees. And also, we hear so many pastimes that if one is a devotee, like for example, Uttara is a devotee. So, of course, Parikshit Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord. But even if, let's say, the child in the womb is not a devotee, for example, then also Krishna says that because, and in the last part of the purport we heard that if there is one born in the family of a devotee, it helps the descendants and the ancestors also. Krishna, because you are dear to Krishna, so what you say, Krishna will see if that child deserves or not deserves. Because of he has that obligation to you, and here in these purports we heard that how Srila Prabhupada writes that, and also in the translation also we heard that Krishna gets obliged to his devotees, and that's why Krishna doesn't give devotion to anyone and everyone, because he becomes purchased out by his devotees. So, because of his obligation to his devotees, he may protect or he may not protect. But he listens to the prayers of his devotees. Anybody would like to add here or correct me? I don't know. This is what I.
It's not exactly the same thing, but similar. Uh-huh. I remember I was very prominent.
I was very happy hearing Prabhupada's conversation with the Indian gentleman, who was kind of a challenging to Prabhupada. He said, Arjuna heard this Bhagavad Gita, but when his son died, he was crying. What kind of hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna? I don't know if it's challenging, but it seems like. Then Prabhupada gave a beautiful answer. And then I was tracing the commentary of Bayu Bijo, one of Madhvacharya's acharya. He said that at that time even Krishna also cried. So then Arjuna asked Krishna, why are you crying? He said, well, seeing you crying for your son, he is also related to me, my sister's side, Subhadra's son, so we all have affection. But then I'm adding to Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked that Indian gentleman, so did he give up fighting after his son died? Say, Krishna, you're not protecting my son. I give up. Did he give up? Prabhupada repeated. And then the man said, no. He said, then this is devotion. This is bhakti. We are not robot. We are human. We have some affection for our family and children. That's natural. But we don't give up our Krishna consciousness. I thought very nicely he put it. So it's natural for a mother for looking for a protection for the children. It's nothing harm. It's not against dharma or against bhakti. But then mother, if she is a devotee, her only intention to bring that son protected so he can be a nice devotee. Nice. So it's nothing harm. I
so much.
So Mataji, the answer you gave actually answers that online question.
Yeah.
The fruitive worker gets returned exactly what he does. But the bhakta, the true devotee, Krishna is obligated to give, whether you deserve it or not, he gives. So that's actually an indirect answer to the online question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Anything else, or should we end?
Did you say that 100 generations were liberated? Did you
in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, and in the purport, in the verse in the 7th canto, it says 21 generations.
So Prabhupada, would you like to add something to that?
Yeah.
One place it says...
Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes here. So here, towards the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate, because due to the birth of a first great devotee, the member of the family, past, present and future, up to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord out of respect for his beloved devotee.
Now, what is liberated?
What is liberated?
It does not mean they have love of God.
Yeah.
Because in 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, 6th verse, I remember Prabhupada also saying
that in battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna delivered all of them.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the purport, Prabhupada break down. Those who did not appreciate or glorify Krishna, they merged. So liberated doesn't mean they are all pure devotee now.
Right.
Because bhakti is intentional. They have to consciously develop love for Krishna. They want to love.
Yeah.
You know, willingness. So that has to be there. Liberated means they don't have to suffer here.
Yeah.
They are now out.
Yeah, and also in that purport in 7th canto, Srila Prabhupada writes Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary that Hiranyakashipu, he has to take birth again in a heavenly planet, something like that. So, what I remember reading and hearing somewhere, I mean, I don't exactly remember where, that actually when it says liberated and all that, it means that the living entity will get a situation in which they can practice Krishna consciousness in their next life.
Correct. That is good understanding. Yeah. Yes. This is nectar devotion. Yeah, this is correct. Because sometimes we misunderstand. We think liberated means we go back home. No, no. You don't just go to Golok Vrindavan without loving Krishna.
Yes.
That has to be conscious choice.
Yeah, and we see how all these demons who were killed by Krishna, some of them, they merged into the body of Krishna and like that, like they didn't make it to Goloka Vrindavan.
No.
Yeah.
No. But strong desire put on her head, so she got this Dhatri Uchita. Dhatri Uchita means like a nursing mother. But that was her choice. She wanted to serve.
Yes.
So that desire was strong. I mean, if that desire was not that strong, even though she came as a witch, I'm thinking like the desire was so strong that she didn't care for anything. She literally disguised herself. So that's a real strong desire. We need that kind of strong desire to please Krishna. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very nice.
So, we are done.
Yeah.
So, Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki, Shiva Prabhupada ki, Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Vanta Koti Kari Vrishya ki Pasam Dhe 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 Dhe
Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Dhe Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Okay, that's fine.
We won't have the
thing on the computer. I need a computer. Experts are not there. I wanted to sing Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, but then I found that it would not be displayed. Anyway. So we start. Oh, okay. So this morning we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 28 through 38. So it's not there. So I can just read through today, because you can't repeat after me. So in this chapter so far we have been hearing, what was it last? Just Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they retired from the government post of Nawab Hussain Shah. Rupa Goswami has already retired, and it was easy for him to just leave his job and go. But he, Sanatana Goswami is facing a little trouble, and sooner or later he's getting there. There's Sanatana Goswami going, also getting relief from there, released, and then going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So 28. Hena kale gela raja uriya marite sanatane kohe tumi chalo mor sathe. At this time the Nawab was going to attack the province of Orissa, and he told Sanatana Goswami, come along with me. Yes, when Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they planned to not to do this horrible work anymore. So they simply made an excuse that we are not feeling good. Sanatana Goswami especially, Rupa Goswami already left, so he didn't want to continue the job. So he made an excuse that I'm not feeling good, so I cannot come to my office, to your office. And?
They call it playing hooky.
Yeah. Hooky or hockey. And so, yeah. So, and then Nawab Hussain Shah, he sent his Rajvaidya, the physician, to check, my dear brother Sanatan is sick. So you go find out what is the sickness he has. He cannot come to work. So the physician goes, and he finds everything was fine, nothing was wrong with him, no disease, no sickness was there. And then physician comes back to the Nawab, and he says he was fine. He was just having some Brahmins around, because he was saving Bhagavad Vichar. And all the Brahmins are reading Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami is discussing Bhagavatam among the Brahmanas, just to keep himself Krishna conscious. So then the king comes. King comes, and then he said, my doctor, my physician says that you are all fine, but you are not coming to work. Coming to the office, what's wrong with you? What do you have in your mind? What do you have in your mind? What is the intent that you have? And then he says that then Nawab always thinks that he is big brother to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami is younger. So then he says, your elder brother is plundering everywhere, killing people. So that was very recent that he was going around Bengal, West Bengal, and killing many people. And so that's he's mentioning. And you're not doing the job, and you're making all mess. Nawab arrested Sanatana Goswami at that time. I don't know that was how many days apart. What was the gap? Because he arrested Sanatana Goswami twice. So, purport here, Srila Prabhupada writes, Hussain Shah attacked neighboring province of Orissa in 1424, so Sakabda. So that is the time when Goswami retired. Jai Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. So Sakarda is mentioned here, and also in AD. What is AD means? Oh, okay, something that I didn't know that. That is called what? After the.
Before Jesus.
Okay, all right. So that's 1502. That was 1502. So like 500 years ago, huh? Almost 600 years ago. At that time, he conquered the feudal princes there. What is feudal princes?
What princes?
Feudal, F-E-U-D-A-L. So it means like a ceremonial king? The country Nepal, you know, some years ago the king was ruling, and then there was so much noise, the people made so much noise that we should have democratic system. So king just stepped down, and then okay, you manage yourself. So king was still honored as king, but he didn't have power. Didn't have power. All power was given to prime minister. So that's called ceremonial king. You know, we respect him as a king, but he doesn't have power. I was thinking the feudal is the same, something similar, but not the same. Because anyway, so we'll see. That's my commentary here. So, by this time, Davir Khas, also known as Sri Rupa Goswami, has already resigned without any issue. But for Sagar Malik, who is also known as Sanatan Goswami, is facing some difficulties in the process of resigning his post. So Nawab said, "I understand you must be feeling bored sitting in your office." So then he encouraged him, come with me, we'll have fun. Because he's going to attack Orissa. So come with me. You help me over there. Text 29. Teho kahe jabe tumi devatai dukha dite, mor shakti nahi tomar sange jaite. Sanatana Goswami replied, you are going to Orissa to give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, I am powerless to go with you. So I have a little question for you. So Devata is mentioned here. So this Devata is referring to who? Sanatana Goswami said, you are going to trouble Devata, means God. So is he referring to Jagannath or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? An identical, right? They're the same and identical, so it could be either one. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri at that time too. So if this guy goes and attack, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be in trouble. Could be. But at that time, before he started, because Rupa Goswami sent two Brahmins to find out when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to go to Vrindavan. And he told them, as soon as you find out, come back to me and then let me know. Then I will start from here to see him. So, as he started from here, this Nawab started going to Orissa, those two Brahmins came and told Rupa Goswami that Mahaprabhu has already left. He started to go Vrindavan. So this question is unclear, or is just obviously obviously accepted to be both? And so, why is Sanatana Goswami didn't want to go with Nawab? Any idea?
Because he wanted to read the Bhagavatam.
He wanted to read the Bhagavatam. That's true. That is the real point. And also that Sanatana Goswami says, you are going to give trouble to my Lord, so I cannot go with you. I don't want to be part of that crime.
Why would it be a trouble to Lord Chaitanya?
Well, I guess he is also going to attack Jagannath Puri, so Jagannath will be in trouble.
So he was attacking Puri also?
Yeah, Orissa. So. Okay. So, text 30. তবে তারে বাঁধি রাখি করিলা গমন এতা নীলা চল হইতে প্রভু চলিলা বৃন্দাবন. ওকে, সো দ্য নবাব অগেন অ্যারেস্টেড সনাতন গোস্বামী অ্যান্ড কেপ্ট হিম ইন প্রিজন. এট দিস টাইম শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ডিপার্টেড ফর বৃন্দাবন ফ্রম জগন্নাথ পুরী. সো অ্যাজ উই হার্ড ফ্রম লাস্ট ক্লাস ইন লাস্ট স্যাটারডে দ্যাট Sanatana Goswami was unwilling and he was having the his own program at his residence. And so that's where King comes and tried to convince him. That was mentioned in text 27 up to, starting from text 21 up to 27. So hearing that, the king has arrested him at that time, he thought that Sanatana is not coming. Also, his name was Shakar Malik. Shakar Malik. So he won't be coming to job. Maybe he will run away. So then he thought he might run away. Therefore, he captured him. So this is the second time now he can capture Sanatana Goswami and put him in prison. Text 31. Tabe sei dui chara rupa thai aila Vrindavan charila prabhu asiya kahila. The two persons who went to Jagannath Puri to inquire about Lord's departure returned and informed Rupa Goswami that the Lord has already departed for Vrindavan. So in previously, in text 11, Rupa Goswami, that I have just mentioned, he sent these two Brahmins to say, return now, and told the message that Lord Chaitanya has started. So Rupa Goswami immediately prepared to go. Text 32. Suniya Sri Rupa Likhila Sanatana Thai Vrindavan Charila Sri Chaitanya Goswami. Upon receiving this message from his two messengers, Rupa Goswami immediately wrote a letter to Sanatana Goswami saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed for Vrindavan. And this letter continues for the next one. Text 33. Ami dui bhai chalilang tahare milite tumi jaiche taiche chuti aisa taha haite. So letter continues. In his letter to Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami wrote, we two brothers are starting out to go see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must also somehow or other get released and come meet us. And Srila Prabhupada comments here, the two brothers herein mentioned are Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Anupam Malik. Rupa Goswami was informing Sanatana Goswami that he should join him and his younger brother sooner, very sooner. Text 34. Dasa sahasra mudra taha ache modi sthane tahadiya kara shigra atma vimochane. So this letter continues again. Rupa Goswami further informs Sanatana Goswami, I have left a deposit of $10,000 Was it dollar? Coins. In India, they still call the dollar. You know, the little coins, are they call dollar. Hey, I have a dollar, you know. 10,000 coins with the grocer. Use that money to get out of prison. So Goswami knew, or this Sanatana Goswami was in the prison. Skillfully serving this Nawab Hussein, the king, Muslim king, at the end, Sanatana Goswami has to visit the prison, right? So, prison is not a bad thing, right? Prison is. Well, I had a chance one time to go visit the prison here in Gainesville. Not for preaching, you know. Many devotees go to the prison for preaching, right? There is a prison ministry, and a lot of preaching going on. But I went there voluntarily. There was some complication, you know. I had many tickets on driving, and then, and those days I was kind of very careless. I have many, and then I had my license revoked. I had a duplicate license. One was gone, and I was driving with another one. And that was caught again. And therefore, a warrant came for me. And then I didn't know what this warrant. And so many letters come, you know, every now and then. My wife said, well, this is a government warrant, you should go. But I just went, you know. I voluntarily submitted myself. So I didn't know the admin. I didn't much have experience of being there, because I was just there overnight. In the evening I went there, and then I had to wait. I think about 5 o'clock I was there. I still have to wait. I'm outside in the inside the waiting room. There is on the bench. Wait. There are other people also. I didn't know why they came. I went there specifically to pay the fine. Actually, I supposed to pay fine. And I didn't pay it on time, so therefore I had to go. So I went there directly to pay, but then they're not accepting, they're not calling me, you know. When my number coming? So it was 7 or 7:30 something, then they started calling, okay, everybody come now. Everybody come. I'm pulling out my purse to give them money, you know, to pay the fine. And then, no, you have to go, you have to take off all your dress in one room, and then you wear their dress, and then you go to a different room, another place. You know, you leave all your possessions in one place, and you go to a different place. That's the experience. You go, and then I guess depending on what's called the density of your crime. Then you get different types of punishment there, or whatever they ask you to do. They gave me one room and they say, you sit here. Nothing to do. And then I was simply chanting Narasimha Kavach, or maybe Narayan Kavach I was chanting. And there was enough time, I was chanting some Gita chapters, some Bhagavatam chapters. And the room was dark, not enough light, no light at all. And there was only one chair to sit. And then many hours passed, maybe about 10, 11 o'clock, then they gave me a room to sleep. That was the room for sitting, and so I had to go to room for sleeping. So there was bunk beds, you know, so many people, you know, sleeping. So in one place I had to sleep. And then, middle of the night, I went there where the people are still working, making fingerprints and this and that. I told them, you know, 2 o'clock I start my job, I have to go. So they said, well, who's going to pay your fine? I have a fine in my pocket. you let me go over there, all my clothes are there, and in my clothes, in my purse, money is there. So processing was going faster. So in 1 hour, I was out from there. You know. So I went, they got the money, paid them, and okay, you go. Fine.
That was quick.
Yeah, that was quick. Quick experience. So that's the... holy jail of Gainesville. So here I thought to discuss a little bit, or maybe I can ask you to see if we find any other examples like this, that one brother is helping another without any personal motive. You know, just to keep as brotherhood, you know, intact. So Rupa Goswami was already out. He left the money just for, you know, just in case something happens, emergencies happen. So this was the emergency. Sanatana Goswami was put in the prison. So he's writing a letter. I have money over there. You use that money. Come out. Okay. Do we find any other examples like the brother is helping another brother to get out of trouble?
Pandavas.
Yes, Pandavas. They were all together. Right? Not one was separate. Yes.
It was Gopinatha Patanayaka.
Mm-hmm.
He was in trouble and then others were trying to help out.
Yeah, that's nice. Any other one? Mm-hmm. Yes. Ram was painting. Ram was so much in sorrow that how can I go back to Ayodhya without my brother? And so yeah, that I was also thinking about Jagai Madai, you know. Lord Chaitanya came with Sudarshan Chakra. He wanted to kill.
That's a good one.
And Madai says, hey, you go bow down to him, you know, otherwise you'll be able to finish. <Come on. laughs> Another example I was thinking was Krishna Balaram. You know, Krishna was tied up, you know, by Yashoda Mata, and Balaram comes in time. Mata, can I open him? Can I let him go? Can I let him go? Yeah. Rather Govinda Maharaj tells this story very nicely. Mother, who did that? Who did that? You know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Narasimha, he is Brahmana, he is this and he is that. So Mother Yashoda heard, he is Narasimha and this and that. Who you are? I'm Anantashe. Yeah, so all these avatars have to come in my house. I'll take a stick and keep you all in together, you know. So Balaram is trying to help his brother in a pitiful situation.
I remember
Ramana Maharaj's class that day. Yeah, that's very nice to hear. Yeah, I would like to add here a little bit was my younger brother. He is about 10 years younger than me, but somehow we had very good relationship. I joined ISKCON in 1991, he was still at home. He was doing. He was trying to finish his 10th grade at that time. He was a very sharp student, very very intelligent. But what happened is, because he is very very sharp, the neighbors, his friends, the neighbor become kind of a little jealous. And so any time, my mother told me that any time he was sitting and trying to do his work, his study, the neighbors, his friend would, you know, so-called friends, would come and try to distract him. You know, let him go, let us go play, something. They always have to distract him. So for 2 years he tried and he couldn't do it. And you know, that time I happened to be there visiting family, and he started crying. I'm fed up with this situation. I don't want to be here anymore. Please take me somewhere. He cried, literally, and I felt pity on him, and I said, okay, come, let's go to Mayapur. So he was happy that my brother is taking me to Mayapur. He didn't know where Mayapur was, anyway, so he got to see. So I brought him to Mayapur. Mayapur was full of flood at that time. He joined a new Bhakta program. And he got some service. After some time, he got a few letters from home, and he went back again. But everybody was criticizing him. Oh, he became sadhu this and that, he was, you know, so lazy, all that. He couldn't tolerate this. He left middle of the night. He packed his bag and left home. Nobody knew where he was, you know. He left home. And then for many years he didn't go home. And then Mayapur was too far for him because he didn't have money. So somehow he came to Guwahati temple and he stayed there for 8-9 years preaching, being the right hand of the temple president. And then after that he took off from there. He went different places preaching. In 2015 I went that area in Assam. I stayed in the temple, and the devotees, whoever I met, they always, you know, talk about him. Radhishyam Prabhu made me devotee. Radhishyam Prabhu made me devotee, and because I am his brother, they want to tell me, you know, Radhishyam Prabhu. So and later he was in preaching in Bengal also, in Bengal, very close to Kanainathsala. There's one place called one island called Bhutani Dweep. He was preaching there. He also invited me there to come out there and do yagya, some ceremonies. So he met many devotees. And so many, whatever he is preaching, people always, you know, honor, respect him. So in that, you know, I remember how I brought him to Mayapur, and he became a good preacher at least. You know, he speaks four languages, Hindi, Bengali, Nepali, and what else? Assamese. So, you know, he doesn't want to stay too long in one place. He keep moving and keep preaching. But now, last 1 year, he's been in one place because of COVID. He can't go anywhere. So he's doing a lot of programs. You know, he's doing Bhagavad Sapta, he's doing Ramayan Katha, he's doing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so many things, you know. Just inspiring devotees. Text 35. Jai Chaitai Se Chuti Tumi Aisa Vrindavan Etaliki Dui Bhai Kori Lagaman. So, the part of the letter is still here. So, the last part that Rupa Goswami wrote in the letter is, somehow or other get yourself released and come to Vrindavan. After writing this, the two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 36. Anupam Malik, Tar Naam Sri Vallabha, Rupa Goswami, Chota Bhai, Parama Vaishnava. Anupam Malik was his name. Rupa Goswami's younger brother was a great devotee, whose actual name was Sri Vallabha. But he was given the name Anupam Malik. So I think he was also employed. He was also doing some kind of job. So there were, you know, Sanatana Goswami was Sagar Malik. Yes. So Sri Balla was Anupam Malik, and Rupa Goswami was Davir Kash. Yeah. It's called reinitiation. Because he took that job in the Muslim government, so your reinitiation was done there. Text 37. Tahalaya Rupa Goshayin Prayagya Ila Mahaprabhu Taha Suni Anandita Haila. Sri Rupa Goshami and Anupama Malik went to Prayag, and they were very pleased to hear the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So on the way to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Prayag. So it just so happened Rupa Goswami also arrived there, and then they had to how they meet each other we'll hear in next class. I will cover this today up to here. Text 37, 38. Prabhu Prabhu Chaliyachan Bindu Madhava Darshane Laksha Laksha Lok Aise Prabhu Ramilane. At Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the temple of Bindu Madhava, and many hundreds of thousands of people followed him just to meet him. So in Chaitanya Chaitanya, many places it says that wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go, millions of people would come to see him. You know, his Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, is so beautiful, and when he's preaching, when he's chanting the holy name, everyone is attracted. So here the Lord Chaitanya is going to see Bindu Madhava deity in the temple. This is in Prayag. So I would like to just give some information about this Bindu Madhava temple. I don't have too much information, but there are, it is said that according to Skanda Purana, according to Skanda Puran, there was a long ago or previously one rishi whose name was Agnibindu. Agnibindu Rishi performed austerity in the bank of Gandaki, which flows in Nepal. For a long time, Agnibindu Rishi performed tapasya, and being pleased with his austerity, Lord appeared in front of him. And the Lord gave a saligram shila. It must be a big saligram shila, I guess. So he gave this to Agnibindu, and he said, you make deity out of it, and this will be installed in Prayag. So this deity will be known after your name. Since your name is Agnibindu, this deity will be known as Bindu Madhava. So this is how this, you know, there is one description like that. So Bindu Madhava, Srila Prabhupada writes in purport, the other purport, that previously this deity was known as Bindu Madhava. Was it? Yeah, it is Bindu Madhava. There is another temple Lord Chaitanya visits in Kashi, that was also Bindu Madhava. So I'm going to talk about that. So this is in Prayag, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. He would regularly go to see Bindu Madhava. And then there is a banyan tree close by, and he would rest there during the day after the lunch. But in, previously, it is mentioned in chapter 17, when Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi, that is known as Kashi. In Kashi, Lord Chaitanya came with Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He was traveling from Vrindavan, came with Balabhadra Bhattacharya to Kashi, and he came to Bindu Madhava temple. So Bindu Madhava, Srila Prabhupada writes in the commentary that this temple was known as Bindu Madhava before But now, many things happened during the Mughal Empire. And now the deity is known as Beni Madhava. Because at that area, five different rivers are flowing. I'll find the name. So therefore this is Panchaveni. So therefore this is, the deity is called Beni Madhava. This could be in Prayag also. In Prayag also Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, they're flowing there. But anyway, here, as Prabhupada said, he has, his name there is Beni Madhava. So these are within India. These Madhava, Pancha Madhava deities, they call. Three of them are in South India, and these are considered Dibyadesham for the Sri Ramanuja Sampradaya. So this is one Veni Madhava, Bindu Madhava in Prayag, Veni Madhava in Kashi, and there is one called Kunti Madhava in Kekinara. It's close to Visakhapatnam. It's a big temple also. And another one is Rameshwaram, is called, what is that called? Shetu Madhava. In Rameshwaram it's called Shetu Madhava. And there's another one. In Sundarachalam it's called Sundara Madhava. So these five different Madhava temples, the holy places.
Where is Kashi and Prayag like?
Kashi is Uttar Pradesh. Okay, it's all Uttar Pradesh. Kashi. Okay. Let's say okay.
Prayag is on the east.
Towards the Ganges confluence
is
there.
Yeah. Okay, let's say, okay, so let's look at the map like this. You have Delhi, Vrindavan over there to the west part. And then Jagannath Puri or West Bengal, Mayapur is east part. So as you start from there, then first comes Kashi, Varanasi. And then after that, after some 100 miles, comes Prayag, Kanpur, Allahabad, all that. And then you proceed to Delhi, Vrindavan, that side. So these are things on the way. Kashi. So in Kashi, Lord Chaitanya was there, Tapan Mishra happened to see. Tapan Mishra, he was taking bath in Ganga. Lord Chaitanya also took bath in Ganga. So Tapan Mishra, he was thinking, I was hearing that Lord Chaitanya took sannyas some time ago. And then maybe this is the person, this is Lord Chaitanya. He was so happy to see Lord Chaitanya, he recognized him. And he came, immediately caught hold the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And this way, Tapan Mishra, then he took Lord Chaitanya to Bindu Madhava temple. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. Thank you.
So you can also find the map of five Madhava. Don't go to that.
Where's Kashi?
They call him Keshipura.
Banaras?
Oh, so Prayag come first and then Kashipur? You were saying
Up there is toward Ganga Sagar, no, that's about West Bengal. This is toward Delhi, right? Down?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So first comes Prayag and then, first comes Kashi and then Prayag. Is that?
No, it shows here coming from West Bengal, first comes Prayag.
Oh.
And then all the way kind of.
Oh, that's right. I went to Prayag one time from Mayapur. It was just overnight train, so that's close.
No,
It was 8 hours train, I think ten hours train from Mayapur, from Ramadnagadi. So Vanaras is further than. Okay. So in Srila Prabhupada writes that the Banaras is also known as Kashi. So Kashi is in two parts. One part is called Vishnu Kashi, and the another part is called Shiva Kashi. And either way, it's a holy place, wonderful holy place. And how they divide is there's a place called Manikarnika Ghat. Manikarnika is very holy. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. The Manikarnika is that the earring bejeweled, he said, bedecked with a jewel, that the earring of Lord Vishnu fell in that place. Therefore, it's called Manikarnika Ghat. Some another place also it is mentioned that Lord Shiva's earring fell in there. So anyway, so that's Manikarnika, from Manikarnika all the way to Adhikeshav. This is Vishnu Kashi. And then after that called Asi Ghat, and further going all the way on the last part of the Kashi is called Shiva Kashi. So Lord Shiva is always residing there. And of course Lord Vishnu is there too, because he is Vindamadava deity is there. Lord Shiva is always residing. One time, Lord Rama happened to see Lord Shiva in Kashi, or somewhere on the way. Lord Rama inquired from Lord Shiva, "So how are you, and where are you going? Where do you live these days? What are you doing?" So Lord Shiva said, "I, along with my wife, I live in Kashi, 24 hours every day. I live in Kashi." So Lord Ramachandra asked, "So what do you do in Kashi?" "Well, I'm doing preaching there." Lord Shiva said, I'm preaching there." "What kind of preaching?" He said, "The people come there to die. In Kashi, it's considered Kashi is one of the most holy place where you die and you liberated, you get the moksha. So Kashi is somehow other people are attracted to come. People come to die. In old age, they just go, oh, now I want to remain, like an ISKCON devotee who would like to go live in Vrindavan, Now I would like to retire in Vrindavan, stay there. So normally those who are not devotees, they live and come and stay in Kashi. So when they are about to die, of course, they didn't practice devotional service. They cannot say Krishna. They cannot say the holy, chant the holy name. So Lord Shiva is saying, the people who are about to die, I go and then chant your holy name, my Lord, in their ears. So in that way, I send them back to God. So Lord Shiva says, so in this way, Lord Shiva, residing in Kashi and continuing his preaching work and sending and giving them good karma by chanting the holy name. Yes, we are out of time. There are quite many things to say, but stop here. Let me see if I have any other points. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada also elaborates, quite a few places Lord Shiva, Srila Prabhupada writes that, like Bindu Madhava in Kashi and Prayag, similarly there are many different powerful deities in different parts of the country. Like Bindu Madhava in Kashi and Prayag, similarly there are many different powerful deities in. Now I don't have to speak, right? Somebody else is speaking. So like, Bindu Madhava in Prayag, Purushottam in Jagannath, Jagannath Puri, Keshava, Adi Keshava in Mathura, Keshava, and Mandara, Madhusudan and Mandar, Vasudeva, Padmanabh, Janardhan, and Anandaranya. In this way, Prabhupada said, there are many, many deities around the country, around the world, who is still present and sanctifying the place. And then, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada writes quotes from Padam Puran, that is, Arche Vishnu Shiladhari Guru Sunaramati, that the one should not think a guru as human, as a normal, conditioned being. Arche Vishnu Shiladhi, one should not think the Lord Vishnu, the deity of Vishnu, as just a marble or just a stone, and so on, all these things. So at the last, the sloka says, Vishnu Sarveswara Seta Itara Samadhirya Shava Narakisha. There are many things are mentioned here. At the end it says, Sarveswara Se, the Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is the Lord of everything, the cause of all causes. And anybody, anyone who thinks that Itara Samadhi, the Vishnu, is equal to all the other gods or demigods, Yasheva, anybody has this kind of ideas or thought, he is Naraki. Prabhupada didn't write here. But the Naraki, I was thinking the example like, this body was born in Nepal, so they called me Nepali, right? So anybody who's coming from Naraki is called Naraki. So only those people can think that all this, have ideas. So, translation Prabhupada says, no one should consider the deity in the temple to be made of stone or wood, nor should one consider spiritual master an ordinary human being. No one should consider Vaishnava. No one should consider a Vaishnava to belong a particular caste or creed. And no one should consider Charanamrita or Ganges water to be like ordinary water. Nor should anyone consider the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be material vibration. All these expansions of Krishna in the material world are simply demonstrations of the Lord's mercy and willingness to give facility to his devotees who are engaged in his devotional service within the material world. So I already said the Naraki means somebody who belongs to Naraka. Lord Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya would always immerse in ecstasy by seeing Vishnu deities, what to speak of Krishna deities. You know, Vishnu deity like Bindu Madhava, Veni Madhava, Alarnatha also. The Vishnu deities. Lord Chaitanya lovingly goes and she is, having darshan of them, and also what to speak of those deities like Sakshi Gopal, the Gopal deity, Tota Gopinath, Kshira Chura Gopinath, all that. How much prema, how much love we would have, So now another question I would like to present here. Is it okay to practice Vishnu Sahasranam since the Lord Himself used to lovingly and attentively listen to it? Is it okay to practice Vishnu Sahasranam?
Why not? As long as you're chanting your rounds.
Yeah. Chanting Vishnu Sahasranam it will not fulfill your requirement of chanting 16 rounds, but that is also another way of getting Krishna conscious, or keep your mind busy in thought of Krishna. Just last week we had a yagya in Narnikanta Prabhu's house, in his front yard. So we did Vishnu Sahasranam yagya. So Balavanta Prabhu was there also, he also was practicing Vishnu Sahasranam. He gave a pastime of Lord Chaitanya from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya would hear this very lovingly. Any moment he would just say, okay, chant Vishnu Sahasranam, I would like to hear it. So as he hearing attentively, and as the names come, like Narasingha, Vamana, he would just enact, you know, that pastime immediately. He would come to that mood. So, it's not bad to chant Vinayasana, right? So we can remember those pastimes. Okay, another one. Is it okay? Is it okay to philosophically deny the importance of Vinayasana based on the words of Lord Shiva? Because he said that if one time you chant the Lord Ram's name is equal to chanting Vinayasana. And if you chant one time Krishna, and then it's equal to chanting three times Ram. Because because of that, Lord Shiva said, so we should not really give importance to Vishnu Sahasrara. I mean, it's just a question.
Lord Chaitanya appreciated it.
Appreciated it. Yes. There are many other Sahasranams these days now. There's, they could be coming from some sources. There's a Gopal Sahasranam. There's even Vishnu Sahasranam, there are quite more than one version. And different Puranas probably mentioned. But Lord Chaitanya liked Vishnu Sahasranam. That is given in Mahabharata. Okay, so I end here. Any questions? Based on this topics, points, no? Questions, thoughts, corrections?
Yeah. I just have one comment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said about brothers and sisters, in the dinner party also have three
brothers. I couldn't hear it. You did.
And he helped me actually.
Oh, that's nice.
Business relationship.
Are you waiting for the questions?